Can you hear the dickhead drilling? Can you
Wouldn't
hear
be
the
surprised.
Nuthead drilling? Oh, he's stopped now. Okay, I bet when we re-record, he will start drilling again.
Yeah.
You should cushion his anal vibrators, don't you think?
You should say that for the podcast.
No, I'm higher class than that. Oh, he's drilling again. Yeah, there you see.
We should record this in the show.
This episode sponsored by Rectafriend.
Are you recording it, really?
Yes. Okay.
That's great. It just figures there's some idiot up there doing construction.
Yeah. Anime Pacific, episode 26, the silver, copper anniversary, half yearly.
26, that's nothing.
Half a year,
is it? Could be.
Well, half of 52 is 26. And here at Anime Pacific...
Oh, you're right. That's hilarious.
We pride ourselves on releasing every week without fail, so...
There have been a couple of weeks where we've missed out.
No, we the only time we missed out was in the Asian, the earthquake crisis where the internet was going really slow.
Right, 1 week only, that's right.
Well, however, we did record two in 1 week at that time.
So happy birthday to us, again.
Yes. So, happy 6 month anniversary. I didn't know we'd get this far.
It's hard to be happy.
Why is that?
You ask me why. Thank you. I am wallowing in the post-Stanley Cup depression. Ottawa Senators lost in 5 games to the Anaheim Ducks. Can you believe losing to a team called the Ducks? Bloody depression. That's the team owned by Disney, by the way. They used to be called the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yes, I know those films.
Yeah, so they knew it after the films. Like, imagine being a player on the Mighty Ducks. How embarrassing is that?
So, Emilio Estevez beat the Senators, did he?
yeah, very depressing. I don't know, they just went to shit in the first three series. They beat, like, every round, like, they beat out the other team in 5 games. And this time, they went down to defeat, and I don't know, they choked. It was sad watching what happened.
Yes, well, you got an email from Paul Acuna, who... sent his condolences.
Oh, yeah, that's
really
right.
Touching.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Paul. Very sad.
Okay, well, now on to news I care about. no, just kidding. Stage 6, DivX Stage 6. I uploaded last week Wannabes, a very obscure 80s anime.
How did that go, by the way? I downloaded that from that Stage 6. And it's great because, like, not like in YouTube where you have to sort of go to YouTube and you watch it at the place. And I don't know if there's even a way to download it to your hard drive. But with Stage 6, you can download these to your hard drive.
You can download YouTube videos unofficially. However, it's like FLV flash video, and you've got to re-encode it, etc., etc. But this is DivX format, and anyone who doesn't know, .divx files simply just need to be renamed to AVI files. They work exactly the same way, for those of you that don't have the DivX player. But regarding how it went, I really don't know. The only person besides yourself who said that he had it was Jake. And that was after kind of self-pity and pleading to see if anyone actually did download it.
Yeah, your usual sort of... what's it called? begging for... thank you, Danes! Yeah, fishing for compliments.
No,
that's
I wasn't
it.
Fishing for compliments. I'd be happy if someone
You're
said I
so
downloaded
cool
it.
You're so cool that you did all this. You are a god.
Yes. No, even if you downloaded it and said, it was okay, it sucked, I don't mind, as long as you downloaded it, because I re-encoded it, uploaded it, it's know,
all right. Well, even more than that, we're just sort of curious if anybody actually did it. So we know two people at least who downloaded it from that website.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link to it on the blog, obviously.
Yeah, it's not so easily found. I was actually just going to post the video there, as in like YouTube.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah, because the way the set out of our website, because DivX Stage 6 will play it in its native resolution. So if you upload something, 720 by 480, it's going to play in 720 by 480. It doesn't like resize it and stuff like YouTube does. So I tried putting it up there, because you can also, besides clicking play, you can also click download.
All right, this is too inside baseball.
Yeah, I know. But the point is that when I put it up there, it like messed the whole
format of the page.
Format of the thing, yeah. So, but you can see it in very small writing. You can download one of these here, and you click on that. Better to right click and save it. If you just click on it,
exactly.
You'll most likely view it in full screen. So,
yeah, it's no good. Yeah. So right click and save as, and it's it really worked. Really easy, really easy down. I haven't gotten around to watching it yet, but I will definitely watch it sort of this week and give you a review next episode.
Well, on a side
not
note,
a review, but like at least impressions of, because you gave a review last week, but yeah. So will you be doing that some more? Like posting more shows?
Yes, I will. I was just about to say that if you go to the Stage 6 website, there are a ton of anime there, and you can download them at extremely high speeds straight to your computer. There's lots of fan subs there.
Episodes, fan subbed episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so it's a lot better than YouTube, where you got that sort of substandard quality. And, YouTube's good for viewing stuff, casually.
Just the sheer quantity of stuff at YouTube is...
Yeah, but DivX Stage 6 is getting bigger and bigger, and the quality is fantastic. And there's lots of interesting stuff there anyway. But regarding whether I will do it again, yes. In fact, I did plan on doing it this week. I do have another obscure 80s anime, which I was going to re-encode and upload, but I'm having a few troubles with the re-encoding, so that might take a bit longer. So I will probably do that next show, which is a shame, because I would have preferred to have done it sooner. Now, regarding these things, I'm not going to upload, Akira or Paprika or something like that.
Right.
The whole point of this is it's almost separate from the review segments.
Like,
in fact,
it's kind of like there's a good sort of term for, like, in computer games, they call it, like, abandonware.
Yep.
So, like, something like, 20 years old that, nobody's actually going to pay for anymore.
Yep.
But just, like, for nostalgia, you might want to take a look at, Wolfenstein 3D or something, like the original version,
This is stuff that is old, out of print. On the rare instance that there is a DVD, then it would be only out in Japan, and thus a fan sub. It's only for out of print obscure anime, and I think it's a good segment to have, because I want people to appreciate good old anime. And as I said, the 80s was pretty much the golden age for anime, or at least a lot of people think so. In terms of output, I certainly think it was, or at least actually in terms of output, the mid 80s to the mid 90s, if you want to be technical.
So the bubble period in Japan, where everybody had lots of money and they
could invest, they could risk it.
Right.
Thus, more interesting projects came out. The OVA was at its finest, because it was born in the mid 80s, and the OVA had the advantage of, in Japan, for example, straight to video films, whether it be anime or otherwise. I think straight to video is a bit of a dirty word. In other countries, it's only straight to video. But in Japan, it's generally regarded as a good place for experimental filmmakers to...
Well, it's the same in the,
I think it's becoming more the same, but there's still a certain aspect.
Yeah, but also, like, in anime, you don't have to have the budgets that like a Hollywood sort of film. So there's, like, a huge difference in quality between, like, a Hollywood sort of movie, like release in the cinema, and like a direct video kind of release. But if you're doing like an OVA, you know, like the difference between like a TV show and like a direct video wouldn't be that much.
Well, but that's the thing. For OVAs, the animation was always usually far superior to a TV series, and you could probably get away with stuff that you couldn't get away with on TV.
Well, that makes sense.
In some cases, in film. So, and now the OVA, of course, as we know, the OVA has mostly died, except for hentai, and the occasional gem like Freedom.
Yeah. Can you, like, think about, like, you're like an anime collector in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, and all you had was VHS. So, first of all, like, the sheer quantity that you'd have, the expense, and you're, first of all, now you're stuck with all these VHS tapes, with the shit quality, and that are deteriorating. And secondly, volume, like, just the wall, like, especially in the small Japanese apartments, just the wall, can you imagine just the space all these big-ass VHS tapes would take up?
I know. And lots of people would record them off TV and then share them with their friends or have their own library. And some people would just tape stuff to be hoarders.
Yeah, I remember, we used to have, like, a Betamax VH, like, a Betamax... Betamax VCR.
Like, yeah, we had one, too, yeah. But so we called it a Beta.
Beta. Well, you say Beta, we say Beta.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so we used to sort of... I did the same thing. We had this huge wall of, like, tapes where I'd rent a movie or a video, and I'd tape it to the, you know, Beta. So, yeah, that's the good old days before
Beta
burners
was,
on your computer.
Beta was infinitely superior to VHS in terms of quality and color.
Yeah, which is we don't want to go over this again.
Yes, we don't want to go over this again. But suffice to say, I think one segment I want to have on occasion is obscure out-of-print anime, because a lot of these things could very well vanish. This is one problem of... and we probably won't have a problem as precedented as this again. Because
of DVD and digital media.
Because of digital media, that's right. And when we came to DVD, we were switching from an analog media. Even Laserdisc is analog, so believe it or not. An analog media to a digital media. And some things have just got swept away in the process. Wannabes is a good example of that, because it was an 80s anime. That came from a VHS source, and I don't believe it's been released on DVD anywhere, but I've managed to re-encode it to good quality.
It's not that good. Don't kid yourself. Looking at it, it's hardly...
For a VHS to look that good, I'm not using any professional service to re-encode it, I'm very proud of it. I could get it to DVD resolution. So,
okay, very good.
Yes.
Anyway, so everybody check that out and use Stage. So 2 points there. Check out the continuing saga of old anime that Dan will be posting over the next few episodes. And check out Stage 6, which is, we think, better than YouTube.
Yes. It has the potential to be the...
At least if you have a fast connection, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like I said...
Or patience.
It's still growing, but I mean, for anime fans, you've got no reason not to go. You can get full resolution stuff there, or, you know, 720 by 480 or whatever.
I wonder how they've handled the issues with copyright. You know, like, YouTube's under all the fire for, like, having copyright content on there. I wonder how they're going to handle those issues, considering that, you know, these guys have, you know, like, the quality will be better on the videos, so...
Yeah, well, I actually found Star Wars Episode 3 floating around at Stage 6, believe it or not.
See, that's exactly the sort of stuff that's going to be trouble for them. Of course, YouTube has all the money now that Google took them over, so I don't know, but...
I think, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's growing, the terms of service said that obviously that you can't do stuff where the copyright issue might come into effect. I don't think they're going to care about an out of print show.
Yeah. Although it's I suppose it's technically, as I said.
Yeah. I mean, like abandonware, it's technically not legal, but there can only be benefits from it being distributed, greater awareness to an old show, and there's no way in hell that me putting up wannabes is going to result in any loss of profit from the license holders. I mean, it's, you know, I just couldn't imagine. Yeah. I just couldn't imagine it. So,
all right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You also wanted to mention how we're going to be reviewed on Podcaster.
That's right.
Hoo Hoo.
Yes.
I've never heard of that, actually. I guess that's the new Podcast Pickle or something.
Yeah, well, Podcast Pickle has gone to shite. And kind of in... How should I put it? In the turd that is Podcast Pickle, a new flower has emerged. And that flower is Podcaster Who's Who. Now, Podcaster Who's Who is a much more simpler version of Podcast Pickle, I think. It's a selection of different podcasters. You know, you can have friends, you can have fans and everything. And at the same time... And, okay, this is not a sexy layout, this website. It's very basic, but... The purpose is what's important, really. Because now Podcast Pickle is all flashed and Java'd and stuff doesn't
load
properly.
It goes
properly.
So slow.
It goes so slow. I you know, oh, you have some new fans. Oh, okay, who are my new fans? And I click on the fans thing after 10 minutes of navigating, and then the little bar loads, and then only like 3 squares of the fans load up, and I can't see the rest. And it's just
it's
horrible.
I don't know, like, what the hell they were thinking.
At least give us the option for a non-Flash version or non-Java version.
Yes, so, 3 cheers for that.
Yeah, and, so Podcaster and Who's Who has filled this kind of gap, and they have a podcast themselves, or the guy that runs it, Bruce, and he reviews podcasts. He has a podcast where he reviews podcasts. And
right.
Anime Pacific is going to be reviewed on the 12th of June, which is...
I guess they're reviewing episode 25.
Yeah, he says it's based on episode 25. So, which
unfortunately, it's none of, like... That's not one of the insane episodes, unfortunately, where you're, like, you know, describing how you, like, push this guy into the toilet, or, you know, any of... Or how you enjoy wearing women's underwear because of the feel, or how you're... You know, Doodle got injured rubbing against the Velcro, or how you're talking
about.
I actually
fixed that.
Tentacle sex antics in the bed, or you're, you know, giving that guy a blowjob in Mongkok.
Yeah, that's right. Memories.
No, that last one did not happen, but.
Thank you. I think they know that, or at least I hope they know that. Yes, well.
Yeah.
However, it was an okay episode. It was. Definitely far from our worst, which would probably be episode 3, where I tried to review Brave Story, which is an awesome show, and I was still learning to review live, or you know, live per se, and I didn't edit it right, and then I...
And you didn't say and.
And, I kept saying and.
And and... yeah.
Finally, so, of course, I realized the review was crap, and then I just cursed loudly into the microphone, and I remember we were listening to that in the car when I was in Japan, and I said, oh my gosh, I didn't edit that. That is just awful.
Yeah, well, those were the days.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just too bad no Crazy Dane stories, but well.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Good publicity, yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of publicity,
mm-hmm.
What do you make of the PS3 going down the tubes fast?
Oh, well, for those of you that don't know, Sony have fired, or, well, laid off is the nicer term, about 100 of their staff because the PS3 is doing
in America.
In America, yeah, I
think
yes, the PS3 is doing really, like, shockingly bad. I had a PS1, people. I had a PS2, so I'm not like some huge Nintendo fanboy with an agenda. I do plan on getting a Wii, and I did have a Dreamcast.
Because Dane doesn't have a Wii anymore.
That's very true.
His Wii is too small. Yeah.
Anyway, the Wii is probably going to be the winner so far in the console sales. Xbox 360.
Well, it's all about price, you know.
Well, I think it's not just about price, but it's about being revolutionary.
I think people will get sort of used to that, you know, sort of lightsaber, whatever the hell they got there. The people will get used to it, and it'll be and the other two will come out with similar devices. And
I think Microsoft is planning that if they can get away with it.
Well,
but
you think there's some kind of not a copyright, but what is it?
Well, if the design is too similar to the Wii Nunchucks, but
yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know.
At the moment, the Wii is constantly sold out. It hasn't been out for that long, but they've already sold 7 million.
Well, PS3 is talking about a price cut.
PS3 is currently at about 3 million sold. Xbox, 10 million. PS3 are talking about a price cut.
Wait, what's Wii at? How many million? 8 million?
7.
I think?
Well, it's probably gone up because those were old stats I was looking at. But
right.
The main problem is they're always being sold out, so Nintendo are making as many as fast as possible to sell. So, the PS2 is outselling the PS3 still in Japan and elsewhere, which is really extremely scary. Very scary indeed.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. I mean, especially you. I mean, you're the big Sony fanboy who got, like, the first one, the second one. I don't understand. Is it just, like, the price? Like, you know, I don't know. I just don't understand why it's not. It's got to be the price. It's the only thing I can fathom.
The website, nextgenwars.com, that is without a T, N-E-X, actually, funnily enough, has live stats. Literally, I am looking at the Xbox 360, PS3, and Wii stats, and it's upgrading as we speak.
Yeah, live. It's great.
So, at the moment, Xbox 360 is just about 13,000 short of 11 million. PS3 is 3.2 million. Wii is 7.5 million. So,
it looks like Xbox 360 is like 51% of the market now. I guess it'll change, but so that's a pretty cool website. So it just goes to show that now you're considering getting a console. Now I was I heard the other day that Xbox 360, like Microsoft is like you're in Hong Kong. Everybody in Hong Kong gets modded or chipped consoles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Like, you're going to be... People there, I guess, would be in big trouble since everybody... Because Microsoft the other day, I guess, made it so that the chipped or modded consoles cannot access, like, Xbox Live, which is going to suck.
Well, that does suck because I have always had a chip, and it's not necessarily for the purpose of downloading or copying stuff.
I see.
Because, I mean, well, back in the PS1 days, I didn't have a burner, so why would I need a chip? The reason was because I was importing a lot of games from places like the US that places with crap console releases like Australia don't always get. So that really annoys me from that point of view. I hate this whole region coding, you know?
Yeah, it's baloney.
And Xbox Live is the one detractor for me for getting an Xbox 360 because when you get a PC, you get a game like Unreal Tournament, Half-Life 2, you know, you've bought it. Why do you need to pay to play it online again? And you have to pay for Xbox Live, and that sucks. Wii and PS3.
And then you pay and you get booted off. I mean.
Yeah. And another thing is Xbox Live, you're kind of pushed into using a microphone.
Oh, I was just going to say, like at least with like your, like we play a lot of computer games, and like the worst part of like being in like the CS, Counter-Strike or any of those like games, there's always like a few tools who insist on using their microphones. Everybody else just types, but there are a few tools who've got to like talk, and it's so annoying. You're just minding your own business, and some stranger decides to talk to you. It's like that.
Yep.
I really hate that. And like especially, but the worst part is if like they're like 12 years old. You know, come on, guys, follow me. You know, it's so annoying. And
but we did
actually,
meet
worst...
Doogie Howser that way.
Doogie Howser, that's right. We're really ragging on him.
Yeah, there was this one guy who kept talking, and he sounded just like Doogie Howser. And then we started this whole Doogie Howser rant, and then he like went into fetal position and disconnected.
But I think like the worst offenders like are you go to these like the servers in China for some reason, it's the Chinese they nobody types, they all jabber and nobody shuts up, they're talking the whole time.
Yeah, Hong Kong's pretty bad for that also.
And I just don't bother. I just turn off voice like so. I can't hear anybody, you know. Yep. Even on like regular servers, somebody starts talking, I turn off voice. I don't want to talk to some strangers, some people I don't know. So forget it. Off it goes. Use type. And so with friggin' consoles, you're going to have to endure talking to like a bunch of idiots.
Now, I've heard all the horror stories like, you know, people have domestic disputes at home or they're feeding the cat. Or, can you clean up Miffy's poo-poo? Stuff like that.
It's horror. What a horror
show. I'd rather have
show.
The option to type. Yeah.
So
that's one thing.
So that's why I don't have a console.
Well, I there's a few key factors for me deciding. I mean, I'm going to get a Wii regardless, and I will then either get an Xbox 60, a 360, or PS3. But a lot of things are multi-console now, like GTA 4, which would have been a deciding factor for me. But for the most part, it's the thing I love about console gaming is the strange, out there Japanese games that we can get our hands on, like Katamari Damacy or whatever it's called. Have you heard of that one?
I have not.
It's this Japanese game, and it came out on the PS2, where you play this little microscopic alien, and he's got it's so strange. He's got to collect stuff for this little ball he pushes around, and you start off like being as big as a cockroach, and you pick up little things like lint or little bits of biscuits, and you get bigger and bigger and bigger. Eventually you get the ball that you push gets so big that you can pick up buildings and people and cars and stuff. It's just so fun, you know. the more you collect in this little ball, the bigger you get, and you got like maybe one level you've got to like get your ball up to 10 meters in diameter or something like that. So you know, you start off and these schoolgirls try to step on you and stuff, and then you know you pick up some leaves and you get bigger, and then you pick up some frogs and then you get bigger. Next thing you know it, you're like picking up these schoolgirls and adding them to your ball, and it's this sort of stuff that I love consoles for.
That sounds great. What
it
a hilarious idea. Really original.
Yeah, and my wife isn't much of a gamer, but she just loves this game to death. So
I can imagine her giggling through that.
Yeah, it really is funny. So it's things like that that'll sway me. And Xbox 360 has a disadvantage there because it's, understandably, it's a flop in Japan. When it comes to sort of electrical things like that, the Japanese are pretty xenophobic.
I don't know, it's very strange.
So
but
it's things like, say, Suikoden, which is a really awesome RPG series that I like. Little things like that will be the deciding factor.
So what was that giant ball collector game called?
Katamari, I don't know how it's pronounced, Katamari
Damacy. You should link to it in the blog.
Oh yeah, it's very popular among console gamers.
Link to it in the blog, and make sure you remember, not one of those times where you forget.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Very good.
It's written down.
All right. Shall we move on to some your favorite section mail?
Yeah.
Strap on that morpher and keep that communicator on standby, for the time has finally come.
Back to action.
The first ever convention dedicated to the legacy of the Power Rangers has finally arrived in downtown Los Angeles as the Power Morphicon, with featured guests like Johnny Ambosh, Aaron Cahill, Polly Schreier, Matt Austin, Emma Hanna, and many more, only at the Power Morphicon, June 22nd through 24th at the Wilshire Grand Hotel in Los Angeles, California. For more information, check out www.powermorphicon.org.
Yeah, let's blast them!
Smash them! And crush them!
Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
All right, so first off, Paul Lacuna, as we mentioned before, sent us an email, and he talks about how he's all insulted that we insulted his at his GOP party. That's a joke, by the way. G-Hope, we all know it's a grand old party, G-Hope, Republican Party, last week. No, he's not insulted. He actually agrees with us that Mark Foley's a douche. All right, and he also brings up how Perfect Blue is an awesome movie. And, so all you guys should check it out. So thank you, Paul, for your email. Jason, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, but Halthuson, something like that. He says, I just found your podcast recently, and at this point I've listened up to episode 20. I got to say I love it. Keep up the good work. So thank you very much for the kind words there, Jason. And keep on listening. So he's up to 20, so he probably won't hear this until... you know, like the next, you know, 3 weeks or something. So, yeah. Now he sends us the some sort of link to a YouTube, and for the life of me, I can't figure it out. It's essentially you open it up and it says, and here's a video of you guys on YouTube, hilarious. So you open it up and it's like Batman and Robin in the Batmobile, and they're talking, but in the background it's not their voices, it's the voices of what I think is like a clip from the 40-year-old Virgin. So I don't get it. So why is it us? So we know Dane is gay and a virgin, but myself as a studly...
How can he be a gay virgin? How can you be a gay virgin?
Well, can't you?
I don't know.
Technically?
You're not...
Depends
you're
not, how you define it.
Well, according to Kinsley... every man is partially gay, however you are not actually bisexual until
I'm a one, you're a four. As long as one is the heterosexual side.
Unfortunately, Kinsey never invented a six, so Alex, I'm going to have to give you a five. Well, anyway.
Anyways, I don't get it. So please explain yourself, Jason, and I'm sure we'll get an email from him in like 4 weeks once he's caught up to episode 26.
Yes, that's if he's still with us and he
you,
hasn't.
Jason.
Thank you very much, Jason. And yes. We got some emails from Watcher Angel, again, the very lovely Watcher Angel, who has done some very cool DeviantArt stuff. Alex loves DeviantArt because he's a deviant himself.
So, damn it.
But
it's true. It's funny because it's true.
Yes.
But I'm a heterosexual deviant. Dane likes tentacles. And
yes, he likes
normal stuff.
He likes female animals. Right. Okay.
That's a stretch.
Yes. Alex sleeps with the fishes. Anyway,
that's horrible.
Yeah, that is horrible. So she liked the TV Guide review because it brought up some interesting points. Remember the TV Guide review from Flick Chick, who had some very wonderful things to say.
Right. You know, it's stuff like how in America, you know, cartoons are for kids. You know, so when people, I guess, can't take like any sort of... like I said it before, but like, you know, like... HBO has sort of canceled shows like Rome and Deadwood because they just cost too much to make. But imagine if they had said, okay, for the third season of Room or for the fourth season of Deadwood. Instead, we're going to do it, you know, in anime.
Yeah. I mean, how much does it cost those shows a season? Like, something...
Rome was $100 million.
That is just astronomical.
Was like, I think it was like 40 or 50, maybe 60 million a season.
Astronomical
like that.
For a TV series, considering that...
12 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing. So, could you imagine if they said, okay, for Rome, let's have $40 million budget and get the Japanese to animate it. Could you imagine? It'd look gorgeous.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Best anime ever, you know. So, yeah. So, anyways, but Americans can't take it seriously. And, I don't know why. I wonder if anybody emailed the Flick Chick about that.
Yeah. Well, she also went on to say that she is in a literary criticism class. I do know that she's currently going to college. As the North Americans like to say with their funny language. And they got into a discussion about how manga and graphic novels, meaning, things by...
like American...
Yeah, like The Watchmen. Moore guy, Simon Moore, is it? Alan Moore?
I don't know. Or
I'm getting confused, but...
Alan Moon, maybe? I don't know what you're talking about.
Something Moore and... No, but there's an... I don't...
The guy
me.
From Spawn?
Yeah.
McKellen or something?
Yeah.
We forget. Anyways, McFarlane. We'll edit that all out so it sounds real smooth.
And... Yeah. I'm afraid, as you can see, I don't know much about American graphic novels. I was a huge 2000 AD fan when I was younger. I still am, but I just haven't been able to obtain them here in Hong Kong. For those of you who don't know, 2000 AD is where such characters like Judge Dredd came from. Don't judge Judge Dredd by the Stallone film. That is, you know, an Americanization or Hollywoodization of the series.
Yeah.
But
I wonder what they would do when, like, it actually became 2000 AD.
Well,
like, should they change it to like 3000 AD?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I always wondered that. And they finally decided just to keep it at 2000 AD because...
it's the same thing with, like, Conan O'Brien. Like, he does this bit, in the year 2000!
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. It's always, like some crazy thing, you know?
Yeah.
So he's just kept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it funnier, actually.
Yeah.
You know? So...
Yeah.
Anyway, she goes on... Go on about her email here.
Oh, yes. Well, I just wanted to say... For 2000 AD, the equivalent in America would probably be heavy metal.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it's basically a collection of different... And some of the artists, like Simon Bisley, who's awesome, some of the artists and writers sort of do stuff between them. So, that's my knowledge of comics in the English-speaking world go to. Anyway, but they said it might be the next best... That may be the next big thing for literature because, The Watchmen wasn't that the first graphic novel to win a Pulitzer Prize.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow, are you sure? That sounds like a fake thing that's made up.
No, it's not fake at all. I can post the Wikipedia link in the show notes. To prove
they have a reliable Wikipedia.
No. I mean, everyone knows.
I'll change it right now. Actually, The Watchmen won the Booby Prize in Cannes. You know.
Yes. Well, you see, I think you've demonstrated the mindset that a lot of people have that have stopped.
Okay, here I'm changing it right now. The Watchmen was awarded the Golden Turd by Dane Scaver.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In Hong Kong.
It won the Hugo Award. I'm sorry.
Okay, now that sounds a lot more realistic. Okay, that I believe. Hugo Award, which is a science fiction literature award. There are two. There's Hugo and Nebula, and... I'll just on a sidebar here. Everybody, check out David Brin, Hugo, Nebula, and Nebula Award winning author. Check out his Uplift series of books. Friggin' awesome. So, yes. Anyways, so, but anyway, let's move along here. This is taking too long.
Yes, okay.
Next paragraph about Nymphette.
Yep. She was rather disgusted by the water fountain picture that was posted, but that was the desired effect.
Now, you were turned on, and I was outraged that you were turned on by that. I thought that was very disturbing.
I turned the webcam on and showed you my crotch. How could you know that I was turned on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
She said something which I said a little while ago to someone, which was that it's a breath of fresh air to see all the opposition from the English language fan base, because... Yeah, I mean...
I'd be interested. I think you mentioned, we'll bring up in the news, that the original Japanese author came up with a statement.
Yeah, I'll get to that in the news.
In the news, so that's huge. I'm anxious to find out what he said.
That's another scary part.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god. People are just fucked up. All the pedophiles who are buying this manga should be, like, rounded up.
Yeah. Okay, well.
So, next. Oh, yeah, and she also brings up, has anyone come up with a backronym for Anipak yet? Now, I don't know what the hell... So I know what an acronym is. Like, you know, like, NATO is North Atlantic Treaty Organization. But, like, what's a backronym? So I haven't really figured that. Unless it's, like, a typo. So Anipak... maybe she means acronym. So I don't know. Somebody come up with an acronym for Anipak, like Anime Nation Intelligent... people, I don't know, something like that. So, right, so that's her first point. She also brings up Darker Than Black, actually. And she
Alex
praises
Alex never
me.
Insists pedophiles are criminals. Done.
That's horrible.
I know it is, isn't it? But I've thought of that in the time you said it to now, and that was just a matter of seconds. So imagine what I could come up with in a minute or a day.
Dane's dirty mind will be at work all week, so we'll come up and see what's coming up. It's too bad there's no D in that acronym. That's going to sink me.
Yeah, even in the full name, Anime Pacific.
Yeah, there's no D at all for Dane. So what about S, Annie Pack? No, that's no Skazbrick either, so I'm sunk. Oh, well. She also praises me for recommending Darker Than Black. Yay. So Darker Than Black and Skullman are the two must-see TV shows that I've been watching. When they appear on, what's it called there? Any updates?
Backer updates.
Backer updates.
Yep,
those are the ones I watch right away. The others that we sort of talked about before, sort of Heroic Age, Claymore, honestly, I don't jump right to it. I got a huge sort of... They're collecting dust on my hard drive right now, you know.
Well,
Darker Than Black and Skullman, boom, right away I'm watching him. So, must-see TV for me.
Okay. Great. And I also... I know a lot of the stuff we've talked about and reviewed has been very kind of manly stuff. Mecha shows and... I think wannabes would appeal to girls, but there's a lot of fan service and stuff in it as well.
We're not going to be... I don't care what you do. You're not going to force me to watch, like, some
so
romance.
So, next week, me and Alex are going to review Super Happy Magic Love Pinky Sprinkle Star Sprites, which is an epic... No, I'm just kidding.
She also mentioned 5 centimeters per second.
Ah, yes. Okay. That is the speed in which... No, I won't say that. I was going to say a gay joke about Alex, but just 5 centimeters per second is, so far, only one episode has been released. It's a series of 3 different films. The first one, which is available subtitled, and I guess that's the one she saw. I know that the animation is to die for. Absolutely to die for.
All right.
5 centimeters.
So you're
going to
check that out for me?
Yeah, I think I will... probably review the first one. It's just a slow-paced kind of story, you know, about some sort of, I don't know,
people.
Just about, like, yeah. Very about people. Yeah, I don't know much about it, to be honest, but
good job, way to prepare.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so All right, so you're going to check that out, and we hope that the title is not indicative of the speed of the release.
Yes.
So we'll see the other one soon. So on to the news.
Okay.
Ow, my Buccaneers! Please join me, Cancer, on the Upper Paddle Podcast. This weekly podcast features geek news, reviews, and rants in the subjects of anime, video games, and movies. I share conspiracy theories. The Smurfs are communists. Random facts. There are more bald eagles in the province of British Columbia, Canada, than there are in the entire United States of America. And Podcast Peak gives us the pirate perspective.
Arr, this steering wheel be driving me nuts.
So go to uppapaddle.com or search for uppapaddle in the iTunes directory. Tens of listeners can't be wrong. Pick up a paddle. It will be glorious.
For the latest news from Asia and abroad, Anime Pacific News. Getting the news from places that you most likely already visit.
Well, it wasn't going to be my first news item, but you seem really interested in this, Alex, so I will do this item first. And the Nymphet creator has posted something on her blog. Yes, her. Isn't that utterly scary?
Baffling.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a way of, maybe it's a ghostwriter or something where it's like actually like some pervy guy. But you ever see that episode of The Simpsons where Bart and Lisa are writing like itchy and scratchy cartoons?
And Abe Simpson,
Abe Simpson is the, they get him as the front man. Something like that. You know, it's got to be.
Yeah. It's rather scary. But I won't read the whole blog, but because, I mean, it's pretty easy to find because this is.
Send me a link. I haven't found it.
It's Anime News Network.
Alright.
And it's. But basically, what she said was, in a nutshell, oh, well, you know, the culture's different. Blah, 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 blah. Culture, culture, culture. Which is the excuse for every pedophile that gets foreign stuff, you know. Oh, well, you know, you don't understand the culture in Japan. You know, it's an art form and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, or like, why all those pervs like go to Thailand? You know, oh, it's the culture. You know, now, what was that guy that pedophile who went to Thailand? Was like, what was his name? I can't remember his name. He was like, they thought he was
Gary Glitter.
Well, it could be. Yeah, Gary Glitter.
Gary Glitter.
I heard about that. Yeah. Gary Glitter. Yeah. I was thinking of this other guy who thought, like, JonBenet Ramsey, they thought he was responsible. All the pervs go to Thailand, but so it must be a cultural thing.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
No, what a bunch of rubbish.
Yep. I mean, it's. People will try and make any excuses they want. Like, freaking Paris Hilton, who's back in jail now, good. Oh, you know, she's got a rash! Paris, I love you!
Paris. Yes.
But what some of the things that she said in this blog, one problematic issue in the manga was that someone was marrying their cousin or someone loved their cousin. There was a relationship between someone and the cousin. And in Japan, relationships and marriages between cousins are legal, but I heard there are places that outlaw them in America, so I think it's become taboo for authors to even imply them. I mean, you know, we've all heard the hillbilly thing, marry the cousin, da 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 da. I don't think it's that much of a taboo compared to, you know, sister or something. Now, this is something totally...
This is bullshit. Like, she's talking about like this cousin thing, and then she goes on about how people are upset because they took a bath.
Yep.
Ringe. Like, nobody. Yeah. Like, okay.
This here is some utter crap. Similarly, as a kindergartner in Volume 2, Rin-chan took a bath with Reiji, who washed her head. However, in America, a small child can only take a bath alone. An adult, even a parent, who takes a bath with a child would be arrested. This made me realize the differences in culture. What utter crap! What utter crap!
It's outrageous. And the whole point was, like, forget that stuff. It's I guess, Volume 3 and your favorite scene there with the blowjob on the fountain that.
Yeah, I mean she's talking about stuff which honestly I don't think anyone would have had a problem with, because if you're listening, creator of Nymphette, I'm relatively sure that there are still, I think pretty much every parent has had a bath with their kid and they've managed to avoid jail time. I mean, it's just she's completely misunderstood, or at least, you know, appeared to have been stupid to the whole pedophile thing. I think she's trying to make it look as if, you know, she never had any implications of pedophilia in this series. And
yeah, if anybody can, like, I don't know, read Japanese, or send this woman an email, tell her that's not the point. The point was the other stuff.
And
the whole idea of the, you know, fucking, oh my god.
And the whole parent taking a bath with a child would be arrested is stupid, because it's not true at all. You know, it's just silly. Anyway, so that was that. And they've certainly got a lot of attention since then. So moving on, this
one... Well, wait a minute. I want sort of like an interesting development for this.
Okay.
I guess the publisher, he's got the American publisher, mm-hmm. He's just started a blog now.
Yep.
From the developments from this, it's Adventures of a Manga Publisher, a weekly blog from the Prez. I guess it's at www.gomanga.com/blog. I guess he's going to talk about his adventures in the manga business, I suppose. I haven't had a chance to read all this yet, but he's going on in more detail about the Kodomo no Jikan sort of translation adventures and his problems. So his latest post is from June 6th, so this is going to be interesting.
To say the least, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's some news that you never would have expected, Alex. This one just blew me away when I heard it. Bandai Visual, who are not very popular right now because of their, you know, Nazi prices.
Okay.
For things like, you know, freedom, of course. They licensed an anime, one of the first, besides Blue Dragon, this is probably the first spring season anime that's been licensed. Because I know Claymore, I don't think Claymore has been licensed. The manga has, but the anime hasn't. Can you guess which was the first anime of the new season to get licensed?
Oh, please don't be Skullman. Please don't be Skullman.
No.
Please don't be...
Kissdom.
Kissdom?
Yeah.
Really?
Kissdom, which...
I thought that collapsed or something after the first few episodes. Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, the production values were so atrocious. There's been the reviews for this haven't been very good. There's been poor production values, and people were hoping it'd improve. Apparently, it hasn't. Now, there's supposed to be...
Well, on the sunny side, I guess there hasn't been anybody subtitling it, like fan-subbing it. So I guess you could say, well, okay, so maybe it'll get a release on the North America, because nobody seems to be fan-subbing it if you're really interested in it. But after watching that first episode, like, I was like, oh, I could go either way. If somebody fan-subs it, oh, I'll check out a couple more. If not, well, no big loss. But, okay, go ahead.
A rumored director's cut. There is a rumored director's cut.
The first episode? What do you mean director's cut? Is it over? I don't even know it was finished.
No, but there is rumored to be, for the DVD release, some sort of director's cut, which has improved animation.
And but if they're going to improve the animation, wouldn't they do that in the, you know, TV series to get people to watch it?
Well,
doesn't make any sense.
I mean, they're going to touch up the episodes that they screwed up, obviously, which is becoming more and more common in anime releases.
Well, all right.
But, I mean, I just don't know why with Shoji Kawamori involved in this, who's a pretty big name, why did this show seem to go down the crapper with production values? What was the problem? I don't know. So,
wow. All right. So that's now. I should probably like back up my terrified, please don't be Skull Man reaction. I just know that, like, I know I should technically be, oh yay, it's being picked up. That means they'll stop fan subbing it, and I can wait 6 months for the American DVD release. Banzai. And I should be very excited, but, you know, my true feeling is I'd rather see instant gratification, you know. So,
Well, one of my favorite anime films of all time, or any film, is The Wings of Onyamas. The Wings of Onyamas is also going to be released by Bandai Visual in high definition. Now, this is one of the few anime that I can say that I really loved the English dub. Again, I had no choice in Australia. The only available version of this was the English dubbed version. But I know Bandai Visual seemed to be releasing everything bare bones without any dub or any extras. And if they did have a dub, it might be a redone dub. And in the past, most of those have not ended up being as good as the original dubs. Like Castle of Cagliostro was one good example. They re-released that, redubbed that, and the streamlined dub, most people think it was better. Pat Labor also, that had a really good, I mean, I'm talking about the films here, the Pat Labor films had absolutely stellar English dubs. And Wings of Onyamas, in my opinion, was another one that had a really good English dub. I don't know what is going to happen with the dub for that. However, my favorite anime film is going to be released in HD DVD, I think, and Blu-ray, or maybe just HD DVD. But it's going to be one of those ones that is compatible with standard DVD players. So I don't know how much they're going to pay for it, but this is just one of those films I love so much that price becomes irrelevant almost. But I know that's probably their strategy. They're probably depending on hardcore fans, because that seems to be the strategy in Japan, which is, you know, let's milk 1,000 hardcore fans for 10 times the price instead of appealing to 10 times more people for a tenth of the price. I know it sounds silly.
Yeah. What's it called again? Wings of
Onyamas.
The H is not pronounced?
The H is not pronounced, yes. Pronounced. It is one of my favorite anime films of all
time.
Never
heard of it.
It's the first film done by Gainax.
I'm sure there's a bunch of people who are outraged at my ignorance.
I can think of a few, but that is one that I'll just have to show you. I mean, it's just a genius film. So it's going to come out on Blu-ray only, I believe.
Wow, that's interesting.
I think...
Oh, 1987. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's probably the most beautifully animated film.
Is there
in
a
the
fan
existence.
Sub out there?
No.
You seen it?
I bought it. I bought it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Blu-ray. Oh, on VHS.
Yeah, I mean, now it's out on DVD again, but the American DVD for it currently is supposed to not be very good quality. This one is going to be, you know, high def Blu-ray and a standard DVD in a two-disc set. So, probably the most beautifully animated film in existence in terms of detail, in terms of everything. It's just a masterpiece. So, there we go.
Wow, alright. Is this like is there a TV show that came out of this, or is it just a movie only?
No, it's just a movie.
A lot of these popular
only.
Things get like spawned off into a TV show.
I actually read a news item about, must have been 6 years ago, that they were going to do some sort of sequel and a PlayStation game, but I just can't see how they could adapt a game out of this. You'd have to see it to understand what I mean. It's about It's about a different planet, but it's not fantasy. It's about a planet that is technologically somewhere in between the 1930s and the 1990s and about their first kind of journey to space.
Sounds like Skull Man.
No, it's not an action
film. I just mean... I can't figure out what year... I think I've settled on the theory that in Skull Man, it's like a mix of different eras. Like, it's not any one year. So they've taken, like, the militarism of the 30s, and they've taken some technology from the 80s and some from the 60s, and some from the 20s, and they've mixed it all together in this one generic history kind of world, I think, is my theory now.
Pretty clever.
Anyways, I have to find this. Wings of Mayonnaise.
Great. We should have a segment called Piss Off the Hardcore Fans.
Yes, Wings
What's
of
this,
Mayonnaise.
What's this, a I keep hearing about, eh? Yes. Yet another top 50 manga series. These top 50s seem to change depending on who publishes them and shows them, whether it be a magazine or whatnot. This time, this is ranked by Japan's Agency for Cultural Affairs. Does that mean it is less biased? I don't know.
Slam dunk.
Number one.
That's stupid.
I do enjoy Slam Dunk, and it should be in the top 50 because of its sales, its influence, its fan base, what it did in Asia, which is put basketball on the map and get people playing it. Number one is pretty... JoJo's Bizarre Adventure at 2, Dragon Ball at 3, Full Metal Alchemist at 4. Now, I just can't believe all these Osamu Tezuka...
What a lame list.
It is a lame list. All these Osamu Tezuka manga are all the way down there. Like, Akira is 15... Lupin the Third is 38. I mean, it's... I don't know. I mean...
It's ridiculous. You know what you gotta do? I think you gotta, like, post this list or a link to it in the show notes for this week. And then we'll... People, look at this. We're gonna do a better segment of this next week, I think. Post some comments about it in the comments section of the message boards about your thoughts about this list. And we'll go through these, pick out some that I like that I haven't read and maybe I should check out or something. Some that sound interesting. Things like that from this huge list. Sort of like we did for the TV series, the new TV season.
Yep.
And more interesting thoughts on that. So there we go. There's the plan. Hey, by the way, I'm sort of looking at the Anime News Network here, and, you know, at the right-hand side, they sort of give you recommendations to DVDs. Have you heard of this Cyborg 009, just 009. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, it often gets confused with Cyborg 009. Yeah, 0091. Yep, Anime World Order, just, they talked about it the previous episode.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but just judging by the cover, it looks, you got this sort of sexy cyborg chick with big boobs on the front, and it's like, boy, maybe I should watch this, it looks intelligent.
Well,
you know,
you should check out the review at Anime World Order, they reviewed it last episode. They also read out my, email, or not email, but comment about bootlegging.
Oh yeah, I saw that, and I went over there and I checked that out. So
yeah,
so I bet you felt special.
That was good. I was happy about that. So, speaking...
I like this. Plus, musical score, fan service.
Speaking of Anime World Order, this brings my new occasional segment, which I call Eye on Fan Subbing.
What the hell's that?
Eye on Fan
Subbing. Is this a new occasional segment?
A new occasional segment, that's right. And all the right. Purpose of this segment is to get your attention to certain fan sub projects which are completely ones that you are not going to know about unless word of mouth. Because... for various reasons. Okay, everyone is going to know about, get Claymore, or get, I don't know, Darker Than Black. There's already thousands of people downloading those. You don't need me to have a segment doing that. And that would be kind of stupid if I did.
Yes.
So, the purpose of this is to talk about more obscure stuff. For example, older stuff that was never subbed, remains unsubbed, and now someone has started to sub it.
But it is available out there now, right? It's older.
Yes.
Are you talking about new releases or like
these, old these are new subs of older shows.
Ah, be very clear.
Now, Ion Fan Subs doesn't aspire just to do that. It can also be to talk about anything that might be relevant, however, not something that you might know just by the general fan sub scene, like backer updates or something. The show I've picked this week, the connection to Anime World Order is, judging by the what they've said while playing this DVD, that the DVDs were supplied by Anime World Order, so a big thank you to them. The show in question is a pretty well-known show, or at least it was in the 80s. It is completely unknown in English-speaking countries. It is called Sakigake Otoko Juku, which means charge men's school, or something like that.
Juku is like a cram school.
Yes. However, manly school, I should say.
Oh, this so manly cram school is the title?
Charge manly cram school.
But say it again.
Sakigake Otoko Juku.
Otoko Juku. So like manly cram school, okay.
Yes. Now for those of you who have guessed by the title that this is a pretty funny show, it's based on a manga that ran in Shonen Jump for 6 years. Now, of recent years, Shonen, I kind of gotten sick of the whole Shonen thing. The typical Shonen thing, which is, you know, 300 episodes long fights that last for 15 episodes. I used to love Naruto. It went down the toilet with having its 20th tournament. I'm just sick of that. this is something that's a lot of fun. And it was adapted into a TV series of about 34 episodes and also a film. Now, it is pretty much like, if you like Cromartie High School, I think that's compared to this a lot. However, Cromartie High School, while it being very funny, this tells a kind of more of a coherent storyline. It's 20 minutes long. There is a set story to it, no matter how comically it's done. The first two episodes have been released with English subtitles. They need all the support they can get.
All right.
Now, it is about, what you said, a manly cram school. The main character looks manly exactly like Kenshiro. I think that's done on purpose. It's basically a juvenile high school. It's a high school for juvenile delinquents. And if you've ever seen any anime from that sort of genre, you will know that they always have those crazy haircuts that you were talking about, you know, like what the bikers have.
Right, right.
They wear these long, flowing capes, which is also funny. This is a comedy, so it makes fun of that. But at the same time, it has a coherent story to tell, one that's funny and one that is often entertaining. It's about a very cliched, on purpose, about a new student, a silent, strong, mysterious student who looks like Kenshiro, who goes to the Otoko Juku. It is pretty much like a military school almost for all these delinquents. And okay. It's, I mean, what more do you need to say? It's full of wacky characters, like a principal with this giant wooden sword that smacks people on the ass, and it's just the funny things that happen along the way. The first 3 minutes of the first episode, we have a character with these big mustaches. These guys are so muscular, and they've all got mustaches. They look like they're 40. They don't look like they're 16. But that's also sort of done on purpose, I think. We've got like this one guy singing a girly karaoke song. Then we've got, you know, an underwear inspection, because you've only got to wear a sumo loincloth in this school. It's just hilarious. Now
the underwear inspection would be good if it was a womanly cram school, I think.
Well,
don't you think?
The scene is not meant to titillate. In fact, I can't recall seeing a single woman in the whole show, and that's also kind of done on purpose.
It's Dane's dream anime. In school, actually.
No, I mean... Dane's...
Where can I sign up, says Dane.
Yes. Right. Hilarious. Now, one thing I have to praise Anime World Order for, besides supplying the DVDs, if it is indeed anime, unless there's some other group called Anime World Order that have supplied the DVDs, and this is all a coincidence, but I imagine that they got the discs from bootlegs. This gave me a really good idea, because Anime World Order, and also myself and you, we have decried bootlegs. We realize what they are, we realize who's profiting from them, and we have become very anti-bootlegs. All of us have bought bootlegs in the past. I won't buy bootlegs anymore. But this is giving me a good idea. I see what they're doing here. You give the bootlegs. What you should do is, you get the bootlegs of a show that hasn't been subbed. You sub it, you should resub it yourself, maybe encode it in better quality, and then you have created a free, better version of something that is out there available for people to buy bootlegged. Thus, you are taking the business away from the bootleggers.
Ah, sounds good.
Maybe. Well, I think it is a good idea, and if we can give people better versions of stuff that's being bootlegged, then they're not going to be buying these, you know, bootlegs, which are often Laserdisc rips. This one looks to be a Laserdisc rip, but it's been re-encoded, and it's pretty good quality.
I can't believe, like, who the hell uses Laserdiscs anymore? Seriously.
Well, that's what the bootleggers do. I suppose they can get cheaper Laserdiscs.
I mean, like, why do the animation... Why do the studios even release Laserdiscs?
Well, it's... I mean, it's still a little bit popular in Japan, I guess, which is funny because Laserdisc, believe it or not, is an analog format. It's not a digital format, although it's on a disc.
Ah, I see.
So, but it is done by a group called Studio ADTRW. I will post a link in the show notes to where you can get the torrent.
Wait, stop. I can't hear you.
You should support this show. Alex, have you heard of Highlander?
I have indeed. I only know it's about some sort of time-traveling immortal guy and as a sort of a string of mediocre films and mediocre television. Just mediocre is the thing I first think of when I think of Highlander. Let me just Highlander, mediocre.
You're a marked man, Alex.
Oh.
You're a marked man. My impression... I'm a Highlander fan, and my impression of Highlander is that it has always been more popular around the world than in the USA. This is my impression.
All right, by
there
that.
There are lots of European fans, and there's quite a few Asian fans, especially in Japan, which is one reason why this film got made at all. And I also think that, like you've said, the first film was awesome. The second film was utterly crap. And it was so crap that they ignored it in the timeline. So the Highlander films have a very troubled life. The first one, good. The second one, crap. The third one, quite good, but ultimately cut out of the timeline because of the TV series. Okay, because the third movie was like, oh, now there's only one immortal left, everything's happy, yada-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. TV series, no, everything's not happy. So, the TV series was very awesome, at least for the first five seasons or so.
Right.
And then they made another film, Highlander Endgame, which featured Connor McLeod, who was Christopher Lambert, and Duncan McLeod from the TV series, Adrian Paul. Lots of fans were pissed off with that movie. Why? Because they screwed around with certain aspects of the franchise. Luckily, a Ultimate Edition was released, which cut out a lot of those things that pissed people off. And I very, very, very much enjoyed Highlander Endgame, but I'm in the minority there, probably because of the fans were pissed off with the initial
things. Alright, so you're a big Highlander nerd.
Yes. Now, the last Highlander film, Highlander the Source, apparently is a disaster, and they are trying to recut the entire film. A bootleg of that film is already widely available on the internet, and it's supposed to not be very good. Now, what is Highlander about? And it is important I tell you what it's about, because this anime doesn't really fill you in on the mythology of Highlander, and you're not going to enjoy it as much, or you're going to be scratching your head, unless you do know. So I'll be brief here. It's called Highlander because, well, the main character was a Scottish person, but that's actually irrelevant. It's about immortals. No one knows why there are immortals. And immortals have something called the quickening, where they need to, or they feel the urge to fight other immortals. And if you can only kill another immortal if you cut off his head with a sword.
With a sword? You can't use a gun.
No, I don't. At least,
what about
maybe
a chainsaw?
Yeah, yeah, you can use a chainsaw. Someone does in this film, actually. Okay, cut off their head or remove their head.
Alright.
Yeah. And there are, no one knows why, but if you cut off someone's head, you get that immortal's powers. Each immortal has certain different subtle powers that they get more and more and more of. And the typical format of a Highlander TV episode or film is it's usually set in modern times. That's what's different about this one. And he meets another immortal, and he has a flashback to when he first met the immortal.
Yeah, see, like, I like the idea of, like, all these sort of immortals and living for 1,000 years and, like, time travel. Not like time travel, but, like, that whole aspect. I love those kind of movies. But the thing is, like, with all these things, it's always set in, like, modern. Like, when the Star Trek guys, when they went back in time in Star Trek 4, oh, boy, they arrived in, you know, the mid-80s. What a surprise. You know, like, I'd be more interested in Highlander if it was set in, like, the Old West or in...
Well, I think that's the benefit of the Highlander franchise, because if you set... Because, okay, Highlander, they often have flashbacks to, you know, the Renaissance, the Middle Ages...
Yeah, but with the budget,
Napoleonic War,
you know, it's going to be...
Well, I think the TV series and the films handled it pretty well, actually.
Yeah, right. I mean, how are they going to do Napoleonic War? Like, it's like that Sharp, you know, where they're doing, like, Battle of Waterloo, like, and they try to do this TV series. And obviously they don't have the budget for, like, 50,000 guys. So they got, you know, they have, like, Sharp. Oh, boy, the old guard is advancing. And, you know, in history it's like, you know, you can imagine, you know, 20,000 men going up the hill. It's like 200 guys. It's just pathetic, you know. You just can't do it. You can't do it in like a TV show.
You got to understand that the way the series is done usually involves the backdrop of a historical period. So he's not going to be in the middle of a battle, a Napoleonic War, you know. But he's going to be... You're going to see the life of that time, and that aspect of it's done pretty well. They had good sets, they had good clothes, especially for a TV series. However, like you said, it definitely, seeing this as an animated film, and it costs just as much to have 1,000 people fighting in modern times as it would on horseback or something like that. So
can I make a quick detour? If you do want to see the Battle of Waterloo in, like, epic glory, where they had thousands and thousands and thousands of extras, they actually had, like, the Spanish army or some army actually participated to make it, like, look amazing. There's actually a movie called Waterloo they made in, like, 1970, and it's spectacular. Check it out.
Check out Waterloo. Yes.
It is. It's a good movie. They really, like, you should see it. Like, after seeing Sharp and the pathetic attempts to, like, show, like, the battle, and then you see this, it's amazing.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So, there are certain rules that immortals must follow, and there are certain aspects to being an immortal. An immortal doesn't know he's an immortal unless he's fatally wounded, and then, you know, if he comes back to life, he discovers he's an immortal. They cannot fight in holy ground. For some reason, in holy ground, they just can't fight. Even if they want to, they can't fight. So there's certain little aspects that are important to know. Now, another important thing to realize is just how much they've screwed around with this series before, because in Highlander 1, the first one, and many people would say the best one, no one knows why there are immortals, and it's very sort of mysteriously done, the whole reason of their existence. And then in Highlander 2, different producers and whatnot said, oh, you should change this, you should change that, you should change this. And they made Highlander 2 set in the future. They made all immortals prisoners from the alien planet Zeist. And that they had, and that part of their punishment would be to be sent to Earth to live to weather and have to cut off each other's heads to finally die, etc., etc. And needless to say, that was utterly ridiculous. I mean, why would you screw something up so badly? However, that's pretty much internationally known as a complete screw-up. There was a different cut that omitted all the alien aspects to it, and but, you know, it was too late for that film. This film is also set in the future. Okay, most notably, it's done by Madhouse Animation and Yoshiaki Kawajiri. Kawajiri, who is definitely well-known overseas. He did one of the Animatrix segments. And,
right,
of course,
right.
He directed Cyber City Oedo, which, you know, we reviewed recently, or I reviewed recently, Wicked City, Ninja Scroll, of course, which was one of those films that was immensely popular overseas, but a complete flop in Japan.
By the way, I did see the last episode of Cyber City Oedo.
Oh, did you enjoy it?
The last two are definitely not as good as the first one.
Really? I thought they got better and better.
The third one was a bit... Yeah, I disagree. The cheesiness with the chick in that capsule, and the whole thing made no sense.
Okay.
The vampire and everything else. Lame. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. And Demon City Shinjuku, Goku Midnight Eye, etc., etc., and of course Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. Now, back in the 80s, he used to do his own character designs, and his character designs were known for their realism, you know, well shaded, good shadows, creases in the clothes, etc. But since Ninja Scroll, he had Yutaka Minowa do the character designs for him. So if you see Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust and Ninja Scroll, those character designs are by Yutaka Minowa. It seems that Kawajiri doesn't do his own character designs anymore, really. This, if you look at it, in production-wise, it's almost identical to Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. The sort of the style,
right.
Everything is identical. The animation in this is absolutely amazing. It is just such a beautifully animated film, which is, you know, a surprise, because they could have just made this a 70-minute OVA, but they didn't. They've put some real production values in this, and Madhouse have recently become renowned for their excellent animation, I think. Well, not recently, but there have been some recent titles, TV series like Monster and Mushishi, which had just amazing animation for a TV series. So I think Madhouse are you know, definitely at the forefront of well animated shows at the moment. Anyway, to the story. It's about Colin McLeod, who is also a Highlander. I mean, why they have to make all these immortals Highlanders?
Because of the title.
But unlike the other two, Connor McLeod and Duncan McLeod, this guy was born sometime just after, during the Roman invasion of Britain, which is also a new thing for this show. Two new things, actually. One, both of the Highlanders were born sort of in the Middle Ages or medieval times, so all the flashbacks are from, you know, 1000 something AD to present. This one is set in the future, so it's all cyberpunkish. And this guy being born, you know, in the early, like, 100, 200 AD, is we get lots of flashbacks.
Romans invaded Britain in 42 AD.
Yeah. I'm aware of that. But this is during the occupation of Britain.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's not... Sorry, not the invasion. I don't mean to confuse anyone. So, yes, during the invasion of Britain, and as you know, they were pretty well grounded in Britain, less so towards the north in Scotland, and they never actually touched Ireland. Although there's a TV series, Raw, which has a what-if scenario in that.
Going off like a way off topic.
Yes, right. I know. Anyway, so that's a cool thing. We get to see something different in Highlander. We get to see the Romans. Another new thing to this series is that one of the immortals is a real character from history. Marcus Octavius. The details of Octavius's life are not as well chronicled as lots of other people, so they can probably get away with quite a few things that they, that historians might get pissed off at. History buffs. Marcus Octavius kills Colin McLeod's love, and Colin McLeod vows vengeance. Now, this is English only, first and foremost. This is the third time Kawajiri has made something that was English only, being the Animatrix and Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust.
That's very interesting. So they have this, like, sort of Roman guy from history.
Mm-hmm.
They have him, like, live forever.
Yep. Now, he is probably the most interesting character, because Colin McLeod, obviously, his whole story is about vengeance. So he's got the depth of a penny. He's just, vengeance, vengeance, don't care about anyone, vengeance, vengeance. And of course, towards the end of the film, his heart opens up and he starts to love again, etc., etc. But Octavius, on the other hand, is infinitely interesting. Unfortunately, the film didn't give enough time to explore this character, because what happened was, yes, Octavius killed MacLeod's love. MacLeod vowed vengeance. He was one of the people there at the fall of Rome. So he vowed vengeance against Rome. Octavius, this is the most interesting part, and it's only really alluded to, but Octavius loved the dream that was Rome. And
you probably should say, like, Marcus Octavius, so they don't get confused between,
yes,
like, the other Octavius.
Yes, Marcus Octavius, the immortal, loved the dream that was Rome. MacLeod wants his love back. Octavius wants Rome back. So throughout history, he hops from empire to empire. He meets him again in Japan during the Civil War era. He meets him during the Napoleonic War. He meets him during World War II. He's just hopping from empire to empire.
What do you mean hopping?
Well,
not like time traveling. He's just living in...
He's living in different empires, hoping to reclaim the glory that was Rome.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
That is really interesting. Unfortunately, a lot of this is only shown in few-minute flashback segments. Flashbacks probably do make up about half of the film, but that aspect...
It's too bad. Like, that could be like a whole TV show. Like,
absolutely.
I would be interested in.
Absolutely.
Forget this MacLeod douchebag. Like Marcus Octavius trying to recreate the Roman Empire in different eras. That sounds really awesome to me. That actually would make me watch it. But if it's only in for like 5 minutes, forget it. I'm not going to bother.
One of the most intriguing characters in the whole Highlander franchise, funnily enough, unfortunately, due to the time limit of this film, which is only like 80 minutes, that is not explored, but I could tell that that is something perhaps Kawajiri or the original writers wanted to explore. Maybe the director's cut will emphasize that more.
You think you could sense a spin-off here?
Well, it depends how well this does.
That I would like to see it.
Highlander fans, anime fans, we're dealing with pretty extreme fans.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about history, so I guess they don't care. But I would love to see, like I said this before, like I don't understand, I probably said it last week, the week before that, I don't understand why, like, in the West, or we don't have cartoons and historical settings, I would love to see, like, a cartoon set in, like, Roman Empire, or even Middle Ages, whatever,
I think in Europe they do. I mean, think of, like, Asterix, for example.
I don't mean that. I mean, like, serious. I don't mean, like, for kids. I mean, like, like grown-ups. Something for adults.
There is a Russian cartoon which I have about oh crap, who was it about? About Alexander or something like that, and it was extremely gory and well animated, but that's another thing altogether. But anyway, I should continue. So we go from Roman times to cyber times, which is another daring thing in the franchise because most of it has been set in the present. Excellent animation, excellent action. Some action obviously is put there just for the sake of it. The very first fight, you know, I'm looking for an immortal. Oh, well, I'm an immortal. Oh, you're not the one I want. Oh, let's fight anyway. And this sort of cyber mutant guy with this giant chainsaw. Excellent fighting animation. Excellent fights. Probably the best in any Highlander because, you know, in this film, they probably didn't have the budget for people to, you know, run down buildings and jump off buildings and jump on World War II planes and have sword fights on the wings of planes and stuff like that. It does have the quintessential Highlander sex scene. The Highlander films have become renowned for their extremely detailed sex scene.
What? I think, really? I don't believe that.
Not pornographic, but definitely, you know, definitely one of the more graphic sex scenes. If you see Highlander 3 and Highlander like Endgame... Frontal. Almost.
Well, then I would hardly call that detailed.
Well, if more detailed than a lot of other, you know, action film sex scenes. And this one is no different. You get to see the quintessential sex scene, which feels tacked on by the writers. Yoshiaki Kawajiri always likes to have some sidekick in his film. Usually it was in the form of an old...
Oh, no. It's going to be like a
cutesy... No. Kawajiri usually has these sort of these old lecherous men sidekicks. If you see Wicked City, funny old lecherous man sidekick. If you see Ninja Scroll, funny old man sidekick. If you see Lensman, funny old man sidekick. I don't know, he just like has something about these little old guys that follow people around. In this one, I can definitely tell this is one of the rewrites that Kawajiri did, because obviously there were a few arguments during the production of this anime, and Kawajiri insisted upon some rewrites. One, I think, would be the fact that, very interestingly, Marcus Octavius, New Colin, was an immortal. He chopped the crap out of him, and he fell onto a... like Stonehenge.
Are you giving away like a key plot point
no,
here?
No, this is very early in the story. He falls, this is when he first realizes he's immortal, and he does the sort of the killing blow, and then he falls onto a druid circle, you know, like Stonehenge. And obviously this is holy ground. So Marcus Octavius says, damn, you know, I can't finish him off. And then he rides off and says, we'll meet again. From that point on, ever since Colin McLeod becomes an immortal, he has a Celtic druid who only he can see follow him around, and sometimes he will take the form of animals. So that's one Kawajiri-esque thing in Vampire Hunter D.
So that's the
sort of the one that tries to explore the character that doesn't speak much by being the one that speaks. That was done very poorly in Afro Samurai. Vampire Hunter D, you know, he speaks to his hand, because his hand is a sentient being, which is pretty useful, because a useful plot device, I suppose. So, at the end of the day, did I like it? Absolutely, I did. I loved it a lot. There were certain flaws to it. Basically, what we see is we see the flashbacks from Roman times to futuristic times. In the future, Marcus Octavius has some sort of cyber empire. It's like post-apocalyptic, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And he has sort of this empire in the ruins of this city.
Right, so he's like achieved his dream of like trying to recreate the sort of Roman Empire.
So far, yeah, he's pretty happy. He has this sidekick who is a Japanese girl that he rescued during the Civil War, who's also an immortal, and wears this dominatrix suit. So there's the Japanese connection there, I suppose. Yes, anyway, so that involves also a virus, which is completely useless as a plot device. I mean, all the people are living in poverty and whatnot, and the Highlander meets one girl who looks a lot like the girl that he loved, you know, back in zero AD or whenever, you know, 2,000 years ago, and she wants to get some antidote because all the people are sick from some mysterious virus, and they're working on a super virus that will kill everyone. Why? It's never said. This is the biggest plot hole. The virus is just tacked on for added peril.
Right, I see.
Yeah. Okay, other downfalls, the dubbing and the dialogue. The dubbing, some of the characters are not bad. I mean, we've got no choice here, people, so you've got to take what you can get. Some of the dubbing isn't too bad. Some of it is a bit too flat. And some of the dialogue is really corny. A typical example of a scene that should be tragic but ends up being a bit funny was when Colin McLeod's love is killed by Marcus Octavius during the Roman invasion, and then she says, "Swear to me, swear that you won't take vengeance, please." And then he says, "I swear, I swear." And then she dies. And then as she dies, he sort of went, "I swear that I will get vengeance. Ha ha, psych." So he
does
basically...
Does he really say psych?
No, he doesn't say psych. I mean, I'm just saying that he basically says, "Oh, I swear. And then she dies. "I swear that I will get vengeance." You know, it's just such...
Lame.
Yeah, it's very lame and unintentionally funny. But you've got to enjoy this for what it is. You're not going to expect to see a Miyazaki film. You've got to expect to see Kawajiri-esque action, great animation, a historical backdrop, and a cybernetic backdrop. It reminds me of a lot of sort of throwaway anime films and OVAs of the mid-90s, like Ninja Scroll, for example. So I enjoyed it from that point of view. I enjoyed it as something which seeked to entertain me. It's not going to make me think deeply. It is not going to make me want to study Roman history. I am into history, but what I'm saying is this doesn't sort of do that.
Right, I wouldn't inspire you.
Yeah. I love the film, okay? First and foremost, as a Highlander fan and as an anime fan, this is one of the more successful co-productions that I've seen. It's probably going to bother a few people. I mean, it's not particularly deep, but I think the Anime News Network review summed it up pretty well. However, they gave the story an F, and I think that person in particular who reviewed it probably never saw the Highlander film, and that's another problem. Unless you know something about the Highlander films, there's going to be giant holes in the plot for you.
So I'd have to watch, like, the first one.
Well, third. I think anyone who is a sci-fi fan should probably watch the first Highlander film, because it is good. It is very good. The other ones are optional, really, as long as you see the first one. However, you don't have to see it now that I've explained certain aspects to the story. So I've given you an advantage there. But certainly check it out. As I said, production-wise, it's identical to Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust. Animation is to die for. It's absolutely wonderful. I watch this on the big projector. The DVD mastering is good. And it's just a good DVD. Check it out.
Okay.
And thus ends the 26th half-yearly anniversary, not really a special, it was just an average episode, of Annie Pack.
Annie Pack, yet to be back renamed as what your angel would say.
Yes. So, there we go. Next week, I will be featuring another obscure anime, and hopefully I will finally get around to an anime person of the week. I've been trying to keep the segments at around about 90 minutes, give or take a few. So I haven't done the anime person of the week for a while. Yes.
Alright, go ahead.
And hopefully, me and Alex will start another little mini segment chronicling some of our adventures in Hong Kong and Asia.
We've been building this up for the last few weeks, so I'll keep you all in suspense.
Yes, due to popular demand, I would say. So
not really, but I guess...
Well, lots of emails have expressed their interest in this, so we'll see how a full-blown segment goes. Don't forget to check out that fan sub that I featured, Otajuku.
Right, and check out Stage 6, which is not crap.
Yep, DivX Stage 6, and if you haven't seen Wannabes yet, you should get it, even for just collector purposes, because it's a fatality of the digital age, so to speak. The analog that was left behind.
And watch the movie Waterloo from 1970. And I saw this years ago, and I was just looking up to see if it's still available. There is a DVD widescreen out of it. Actually, it was a co-production of like the Soviets and I think the French, actually. Soviet-Italian co-production. So that's why they had so many, like, the battle scenes are just so epic, because they had all these Soviet troops used as extras.
Soviet films, weren't they renowned for having massive budgets?
I don't know. This had like a $35 million budget, and this was in 1970, so you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean,
they had 15,000 Soviet troops as like foot soldier extras and 2,000 cavalry extras, and like this film is like really historically accurate. It's not like a cheesy made for Hollywood sort of adaptation. Like the Americans don't run in and like save the day, you know. You can imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
I can imagine. Yeah.
For liberty.
The Rogers Rangers show up at Waterloo and save the day by like assassinating a Napoleon.
That's right.
The American version. Yeah. So yeah, but no. But this is a pretty historically accurate, and it's spectacular. If you don't know the history, you can check that out. Like, it's great.
Can I just say something? That reminds me of the History Channel whenever I go back to Australia. Usually, for those of you that don't know, for the summer holidays in Hong Kong when I'm dying of heat, I'll go to Australia where it's winter. And I always watch the History Channel. It's my favorite channel. And they had biography on John Wayne. And there was one film where... I guess you could kind of say the last samurai of the... Well, not except without the samurai part. He sort of remains a Civil War advisor. But there's some John Wayne movie where he goes to Japan as an advisor.
Really?
And yeah, oh my goodness. And the Japanese guy, who I don't even think was played by a Japanese guy, just some Hollywood actor with, you know, trying to squint or something tasteless like that. But he said, "Don't you have wars in America too?" "Yes. But our wars have fought for liberty." You know, oh my goodness, yes. So anyway, yeah. That's Hollywood.
There might be like one scene where people like watching this movie, they'll think, "Oh, this is Hollywood." Like Napoleon escapes from his island, like where he was sort of being sort of kept in sort of exile, and he makes it back to the French lands and marches on Paris, and as he marching, people are gathering behind him as he marches on back to Paris, and French troops intercept him, and led by a famous general, Ney, and he lines the soldiers up and tells Napoleon to stop, and the general, you know, Napoleon sort of hesitates, and he walks out and confronts them. You know, "Do you wish to fire on your emperor?" And the general yells, "Fire," but the troops don't fire. They drop their rifles and they rush over to him, and they say, but
you might "Captain, think, oh, Captain." Hollywood.
Yeah, but you might think, "Oh, it's Hollywood bullshit," but it's not. That's true. That actually happened, just like that, just like something out of like you'd read, like you'd see in a movie. But it's actually happened. And I know, because I read like a biography on Napoleon. So,
but didn't, when he was on the island, didn't Napoleon get a bit strange?
That might have been like on his second, after losing the Battle of Waterloo. He was sent to a different island, and people suspect he was like poisoned by the British.
Yeah, that's right.
It turned out not to be true, actually.
Well,
just recently,
the Hong Kong History Museum had the Napoleon exhibition, which was one of the best exhibitions I've ever seen in my entire life, because they brought so much stuff. They had, you know, clothes of the era, Napoleon's personal effects they brought to this exhibition. You would have cried if you missed it. Well, you did miss it. You should be crying for missing this, because it was just probably the best exhibition of a historical figure that I've ever been to, because they brought so much real stuff with them. They had so many different things. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the whole, like, the reading, like, I think people that go out there should just read, like, a biography of Napoleon. Like, his life, like, reads like a movie, you know? It's just
spectacular. I think any script writer, and here's a little note for you, who those of you who are, you know, oh, I want to make anime when I grow up or something like that, you know, for anything that you want to make, if you read history, you'll be able to make a 10 times better screenplay, even if it's set in modern times.
Yeah, I mean, because, I don't know.
You know, political maneuvering, conflicts, you know, human nature is all...
You kiddies who were sleeping through history class in high school, don't.
Yes.
Yes.
Or sleep through it in class and then go to the library
read
in
up
the spare
on it,
time.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
So, here are your assignments. Watch Waterloo, read a biography of Napoleon. I also want to throw out one more show.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Dream of Rome. It's like a documentary about a couple of years old. Really good. It's actually, I think the person who did it is now like a member of the Conservative Party. He's like the defense critic or something, or foreign policy critic of the Conservatives, you know, in Parliament in England. And he's comparing like how like the Roman Empire and how it was governed, comparing that to like the EU, and could the EU ever sort of become sort of something similar? And it's sort of contrasting the two and how like efficient the empire was run and how upwardly mobile, you know, you could be. You could start off a slave and end up as like a rich man. And it's really interesting. So check that out, Dream of Rome. I'm sure it's available on BitTorrent somewhere.
Yeah, this is all your homework before you watch Highlander: The Search for Vengeance.
Yeah, screw that junk. Educate yourself.
Okay. So until next week. My lovely anime Annie Packers. What's an Annie Pack listener? What should we call them? Annie Packers? Annie Pac-Men?
How about Packers?
Packers, yeah. Okay, my Packers. Oh, you're talking to me, my friend. Oh, I'm very happy.
And actually, the Packers are like a football team in Minnesota. Green Bay. Green Bay Packers. So
everyone's always stealing our little nicknames. It just sucks. Okay, well... See you next week, people.